description of any real person, living or dead. For instance, In Memoryson is not intended to be a caricature of Tennyson, but the passage which deals with him is intended to parody some of the stuff that has been written about Tennyson. No doubt, the author of the original has opened to the public several doors through which it is not thinkable that a parodist would care to follow her. Apart from that, parody should be brief, just as autobiography should be long. Ars brevis vita longa. Barry Payne, October 8th, 1920. End of author's note. First extract of Marge Asking for It by Barry Payne. First extract, The Catastrophic Family. I was christened Margarine, of course, but in my own circle I have always been known as Marge. The name is, I am informed, derived from the Latin word margo, meaning the limit. I have always tried to live right up to it. We were a very numerous family, and I can find space for biographical detail of only a few of the more important. I must keep room for myself. My elder sister, Cassie, as we always called her, was supposed to be the most like myself, and was less bucked about it than one would have expected. I never made any mistake myself as to which was which. I had not her beautiful, lustrous eyes, but neither had she my wonderful cheek. She had not my intelligence, nor had she my priceless gift for uttering an unimportant personal opinion as if it were the final verdict of posterity with the black cap on. We were devoted to one another, and many a time have I owed my position as a temporary parlour maid in an unsuspicious family to the excellent character that she had written for me. She married Moses Morgenstein, a naturalized British subject, who showed his love for his adopted country by trading as Stanley Harcourt. He was a striking figure with his coal black hair and nails, his drooping eyelashes and underlip, and the downward sweep of his ingratiating nose. The war found him burning with enthusiasm, and I give here one verse of a fine poem which he wrote, and, as I will remember, recited in Mrs. Mopworth's salon. I vos in London since 3 year. In dis land I hold so dear. England, my England, mit der overbowering might, if she conquer in the fight, M. Morgenstein will be right, nicht? England, my own. He was a man of diverse talents, and I used to regret that he gave to the tripe dressing what was meant for the muses. Alas, he was, though indirectly, one of the many victims of the Great War. His scheme for the concealment of excess profits was elaborate and ingenious, and practised with assiduity. His simple mind could not apprehend that elemental honesty was in process of modification. "What I make for myself, dat I keep, nicht?" he often said to me. And then the blow fell. However, he has earned the utmost remission to which good conduct could entitle him, and we are hoping that he will be out again by Christmas. My next sister, Saccharine, was of a flimsy and prismatic beauty that was sufficient evidence of her coal-tar origin. Our mother, of course, was a coal-tar. I never thought her mind the equal of my own. Indeed, at the moment of going to press, I have not yet met the mind that I thought the equal of my own. But about her beauty there was no doubt. In those days, I am speaking of the 90s, it was quite an ordinary event for my sister, inadvertently, to hold up an omnibus. The horses pulled up as soon as they saw her, and refused to move until they had drunk their fill of her astounding beauty. I well remember one occasion on which the horses in a West Kensington omnibus met her at Piccadilly Circus and refused to leave her until she reached Highgate, in spite of the whip of the driver, the blasphemy of the conductor, the more formal complaints of the passengers, and direct police intervention. She was a sweet girl in those days, and I loved her.